Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 17, verses 6 through 11. John chapter 17, verses 6 through 11. And keep in mind this little topic, all in the family, all in the family. And the reason I say that is that when we read this passage of Scripture, you're going to find Jesus Christ is going to give us a lot of things that God did, a lot of things that He did, and a lot of things that we are to do based upon what His disciples did. Let's read the passage and understand what we're talking about. John chapter 17, verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Okay, now what's going on here is that when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become part of the family of God, you see. And that's why I said all in the family, because quite a number of things mentioned by Jesus in this prayer, and this is the prayer where he's praying to his Father before the crucifixion, deal with what God did by sending Jesus Christ. They deal with what Jesus did for the disciples while he was here, and what the disciples did in response. So let's look first of all at the things that are contained in this prayer to God the Father that God Almighty did. First of all, we see this. God gave Jesus the disciples. Look in verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. And then he says here in verse 11, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Okay, now what that shows you then is that these disciples are given to the Lord Jesus Christ by God Almighty himself. Look in John chapter 6, verse 37 and verse 39 for a cross-reference on this, and then we'll give a brief explanation. John chapter 6, verse 37. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. So clearly the Father had given him the disciples. And this creates a lot of confusion for people, because they believe then that before the foundation of the world, before there was ever a man on the earth, God Almighty had already made a decision about who would be saved and who would be lost, and then the world starts. And then Jesus Christ comes and he dies for those that God was already going to save, and his death, although it was for all men, really didn't count for those who were going to be damned. That's sort of a brief summary of this doctrine called Calvinism or predestination. And we've studied that a number of times on this broadcast, and we don't really want to go down that trail right now, because all the verses that deal with election and all the verses that deal with predestination we've covered thoroughly on other broadcasts. If you need information like that, you're welcome to call us at the end of this broadcast, and we'll gladly send you the information that we have on that, because there's nothing in this about predestination. This simply shows you that there were men here that God wanted to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the way that God made that decision was based on the condition of their heart, and based upon what they did with the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the scribes rejected the words of the Lord Jesus Christ because their hearts were hard. Their hearts had waxed gross, Matthew 13 said, and therefore their ears were dull of hearing, and their eyes were blind, and even though they saw the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, they refused to believe that he was from God, not the disciples. And when they believed that he was from God, God gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so what God did is he gave Jesus to the disciples, but he also gave the words. He gave the words. Look in verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. So the words, what do we call these? We call these God's words. You know, one of the greatest things that we'll deal with this a little bit at the end of the broadcast, but I'd like to interject it here. One of the greatest things about this Bible that I have here on my desk that I'm preaching from, this old King James Bible, I have no doubt in my mind or in my heart whatsoever that these are God's words. I believe that with all my heart. And as a result, not trying to find fault or error with the book, God's Holy Spirit inspires those words, and they become very profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, the Bible says. And so it's a wonderful book. And these words were given by God Almighty. Psalm 68, verse 11. Is the verse regarding these words. It says, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Well, Jesus Christ was in that company. He published those words. I'm in that company. I'm publishing those words. If you preach or you testify or you witness to people or you pass out tracts, you give those, you publish those words. You're giving them out. But God originally gave the word. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. In John chapter 12, verse 49, Jesus Christ said this, For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Now what did he say? He said this, He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. God gave the words. I love that because, you know, right now there are people who say that the prophet Muhammad got words. Joseph Smith said that he got words from Moroni, and he comes out with all. Everybody has. The Watchtower Society says that they get their words from the prophet. And all these people come up with this stuff, and what you have is you've got a series of religions that are created by men that have words that did not come from God. They didn't come from God. These men may profess that they did, but they didn't come from God. Jesus Christ gave God's words. Actually, God gave them, and the Lord Jesus Christ preached them. God gave them to Old Testament prophets and so forth and so on, and now we have them in a Bible. These are God's words. The other things are not. All right, so what did God do? He gave Jesus the disciples. He gave the words. He also gave Jesus. Look in verse 8. And he said this, They received them and have known surely what? That I came out from thee. I came out from thee. God gave Jesus Christ. You know, one of the first verses of the Bible that you ever learned as a memory verse whenever you started memorizing Scripture was John 3:16. That is when you started memorizing whole verses, because it's sort of a long verse. But what did it say? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We've asked people before that have read that verse, what did God give? And they said, well, God gave us eternal life. They miss, I mean, and in fact he did, but they miss where the eternal life came from. So we ask them again, what did he give? And they look at the verse real carefully and they study it out and they say, well, yeah, I see what you're saying. He gave Jesus Christ. That is the truth. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. They have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee. So what did God do? He gave Jesus the disciples. He gave the words. He gave Jesus Christ. Therefore, when the Lord Jesus Christ prayed to his Father, in verse 11, he said, keep them, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. So he entrusted those souls to God Almighty, and he said, keep them, keep them, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. And so the Lord's responsibility, see, it's all in the family. Jesus is saying, you know, I did this and you did that and the disciples are doing this. It's a big family affair. If you're not in the family, none of these things are available to you. But if you're in the family, then you can see clearly what God did, what Jesus Christ did, what the disciples did, and therefore what we're to do. God's responsibility in this prayer coming from the Lord Jesus Christ is simply that he was to keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. And you know what? He does. Look in John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, see that again, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. It is a great thing that we see in the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ to his Father then, that we have eternal security because he entrusted us, he entrusted his disciples to God Almighty and said, don't let them go. And then he told us here in John chapter 10, look, they're in my Father's hand. Nobody's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Boy, well, I tell you, that's a wonderful thing. That is a wonderful thing. That is a seal that is upon us to keep us from ever, ever, ever falling prey to this idea that somehow we could jump out of God's hands or somehow lose that salvation that God gave us. we find in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, this verse. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. And so he holds us in his hand, literally, that we are not to be plucked out by any man. Now, that's what God Almighty did. What did Jesus Christ do that's in this prayer? What do we see here? In John chapter 17, we see a number of things that the Lord Jesus Christ did. The first thing we see in verse 6 is that he manifested to us God's name. Look what he said in verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest unto me out of the world. I've manifested thy name. Now, what is his name? Well, every time that Jesus Christ refers to him, even in this text, he refers to him as the Father. In verse 11, he even said, I come to thee, Holy Father. That's what he did. So that's a very interesting thing, because when he says, Father, like when we get saved, we cry, Abba, Father, then what do we have here? We have a relationship change from the way we started. Look in Matthew chapter 6 as an example. Matthew chapter 6 in verse 9, the disciples want to know how to pray, and the Lord said, I'll teach you. And in verse 9, he said this, Our Father, which art in heaven. See that thing? He calls him Father. When we get saved in Romans chapter 8, we find out that we go through an adoption process, and God gives us the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, God becomes our Father. Well, initially then, he wasn't our Father. Because of the fall, because of what happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, all their offspring come in as children who are children of disobedience and children of wrath. We are sinners, and therefore we are in the devil's family until we get saved. In John chapter 8, verse 38, the Lord was dealing a great deal with the Pharisees about this problem. And he said to them in John 8, 38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. You do that which you have seen with your Father. See, there's two spiritual families. God the Father, and then the devil, who is a father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. But it wasn't true. Why? Look at verse 44. You're of your father, the devil. So there are two spiritual families, and what Jesus Christ did is he manifested God's name, and that name to us is Father. That's why he said, call no man on earth your father, for one is your father, which is in heaven. So when we pray, we say Father, and then we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm glad to have God Almighty as my Father. You know, when I consider the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when I consider the blood shed for my soul, I'm so thankful to have Jesus Christ as my Savior, my Lord, my brother, and as a result, to have God as my Father. I'm so glad to know, for us who are saved, that we're not on our way to spend an eternity with who our former father was, which was the devil. I'm so thankful for that. And I'm so thankful that I want to tell others, and I pray that you do as well, so that they don't wind up in deception, following the wrong God, and then, you know, wind up one day in front of Jesus Christ, who would say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. It would be a terrible thing. Thank God we've escaped that. But not only did Jesus Christ manifest to us God's name, he gave us the words. Look in verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. So, God gave the words to Jesus. Jesus gave the words to us. You know what that's going to show in a minute. That's going to show we got to give the words to others. John chapter 12, which we've already looked at in verse 49, the Lord said this, and I showed you this verse earlier to show you that God had given Jesus Christ these words. But look at this thing. I've not spoken of myself, for the Father sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should speak and what I should say. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So in other words, God gave the words to Jesus. Jesus gave the words to us. That's a great thing. We passed them down, see? And he gave those to the disciples. Guess what the disciples did? They recorded them in the Bible here. And John said, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So he gave us the words. That's a very comforting thought. I was reading recently about the Mormon church, and the reason is that I met some folks who had converted out of Mormonism, out of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, to Christianity, and they had written a very long and lengthy book, a dissertation on the difference between Christianity and Mormonism, and then they also wrote a pamphlet of a personal testimony about what it was to come out of Mormonism. And it's interesting to note where the Book of Mormon came from. It did not come from God the Father through Jesus Christ to us. You see, it came by a different method. It came by a different vehicle. Therefore, I know, based upon what Jesus Christ said to his Father when he prayed, that those words are not the words of God. Although they are believed to be by the people that are in the Mormon church, they are not. And they're therefore not worth us following. If you're a Christian and you've been introduced to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and they're trying to win you over, or if you're not a Christian and you're trying to decide which way to go, let me just tell you assuredly, based upon what Jesus Christ prayed here, if the words did not come from God through Jesus directly to us, through the disciples, they are not the words of God. And this idea that Moroni and this angel and all these things appeared to Joseph Smith, and there are inconsistencies between the Book of Mormon and the Bible, and at their very foundation, they are established completely contrary to each other, then I'm going to tell you something. One of those things is false, and I know which one it is. It is the Book of Mormon. He manifests to us God's name. He gave us the words. I'll tell you something else that Jesus Christ did for us in this text. He prayed for us. In verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. That's kind of interesting, because everybody says, you know, we need to be praying for world peace. Jesus Christ didn't bother to do that. He prayed for us. As a matter of fact, if you know the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's praying right now. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, the Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Oh, I love that, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ there is making intercession that saints would be saved. And then another thing that he did is he's glorified in them. Look here in verse 11, or verse 10, all are mine or thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. That's an interesting thing. So how could that possibly be? Well, what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ after he died on the cross? He was buried, and after his burial, what happened? He raised from the dead, and then he bodily ascended into heaven. But you know something? He came back in this sense. He now inhabits our bodies as his temple. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And then Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. In John chapter 14, verse 21, he said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Jesus saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And watch it, my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. So, I will love him and will manifest myself to him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus said, I am glorified in them. Well, then that shows that he takes up personal residence. He and God the Father, the Holy Spirit, take up personal residence inside the soul of a saved person, and then they glorify themselves in us. You say, how's that? Then, in other words, whenever we do something, yes, exactly. Like Jesus said, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because they know, like Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. Remember that? In John chapter 15. So if Jesus Christ were not in us, we would not be able to do anything. And with Jesus Christ in us, then we are able to do something, and that something brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore he said, I am glorified in them. Then the next thing Jesus Christ did is he left. Look at verse 11. Now I'm no more in the world. Okay, well, you can read Acts chapter 1, and you see his ascension. And then he says, but these are in the world, I come to thee. That's the next thing that happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's with the Father. If you read, for instance, in Hebrews chapter 1, about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you check, for instance, verse 3, you find that he is sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. So those are interesting things that Jesus did. He manifested to us God's name. He gave us the words. He spoke those things that God commanded him to speak. He prayed for us. He's glorified in us. He left, and he's now with the Father. So whenever something takes place that somebody says, wow, that's great, that takes place in us, it is always to the glory of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So now then, what did his disciples do as a result of these things? Well, first of all, they kept God's words. In verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Well, that's what Jesus Christ told us to do. He said, if you'll love me, you'll keep my words. That's what he said. Now, how can you keep God's words if you're not reading them and studying them and listening to them preached and taught? Another thing the disciples did is they knew that God gave it all. In verse 7, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. They knew it all came from God Almighty. They said so in John chapter 16, verse 30. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, needest not that any man should ask of thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. They knew it. They knew it. Why? Because they believed it. And in verse 8, they did something else. They received and believed the words of God. That's vitally, vitally important. I've given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they've received them. That's great. They received them. And then they have believed that thou didst send me. They received and they believed. There is a great verse of Scripture in the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. And that verse of Scripture says simply this. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because that when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in ye that believe. The two key elements on the words of God are to receive them and to believe them. Well, you're not going to receive them if you're not reading them, studying them, listening to them preached and taught. And you're not going to believe them if you're always challenging God on trying to figure out what they said and twisting them to make them say what you want them to do. And then finally, in verse 11, he left them in the world. I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. Well, what does that show you then? That shows you that if he left them in the world and now they're gone and we're left in the world, then we have a responsibility to do what they did. What is that? We must receive and believe the words of God. That's why we have this daily radio broadcast. To give you something out of the Word of God that you can receive 5 days a week, 30 minutes a day, and believe those words that came from God so that those words will work effectually in you that believe. The next thing you need to do is you need to manifest God's name. When was the last time that you told somebody about what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you? Manifesting God's name like Jesus Christ did and like his disciples did. The next thing you need to do is you need to preach the words of God like the disciples did. And tell others that are lost, that don't know about Jesus Christ, how to be saved. And then like Jesus Christ did, where he prayed for us that are in the world, we need to pray for each other. And thereby, we keep it all in the family. Isn't that a great thing? Now, a quick summary. God gave Jesus the disciples. And then God gave the words. And then God gave Jesus Christ to the world. And he'll keep those that come to Jesus Christ through his name. That's what God does. What Jesus did is he manifested God's name. And then he gave us the words. So I've got them right here on the desk. I've been preaching them to you today. He prayed for us, and now he's glorified in us. He said, without me you can do nothing. What is it that Jesus Christ has done in you that has brought glory to Jesus Christ? If nothing, then listen, you need to get yourself in a right relationship with him, because he's gone now. He's with the Father. The disciples, when he left, kept God's words. Are you? They knew that God gave it all. They received and believed those words. And then he left them in the world so that we can receive and believe, manifest God's name to this world, preach the words of God to this world, and pray for each other. And I'll tell you, that's a great little thing that we saw in the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ to his Father. And I urge you to take those things to heart so that we can accomplish those things that God gave us to do. Amen?
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.